right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Start spreading the news.
Now we're doing a show. We haven't even started and you're getting ahead of yourself.
I just like it.
It's pretty.
We'll get there.
All right.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168.
Yes.
And we're calling it Two Cons Enter.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. And this, of course, has to do with our most recent excursion, all of us here at the show and others to the Big Apple Con 09.
That's right.
As produced by Wizard. But we'll get to that in segment two and why we're calling it Two Cons Enter.
Right.
So without any further ado,
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Love it. Just getting right into it tonight.
Yeah, let's go.
Jon Favreau. Not directing the Avengers movie.
Whoa. What happened?
He says that he's not going to be directing the Avengers movie. I don't know why, but he just said that that he's going to be working on it in a consulting
Well, who is going to be directing it if it's not
but
him?
They haven't announced.
Steven Spielberg.
No. They haven't announced anybody
Spielberg
else.
Spielberg should do the Cap movie.
He should do the Cap movie.
He should.
You know, Joe Quesada was talking about the Cap movie this past week.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, but he didn't say anything really important.
No.
Mostly because it's Joe Quesada.
Yeah. Mostly because he doesn't know shit.
And he doesn't have anything really to do with the Cap movie,
nope.
I would think.
It's, Thank
that's
God.
Really, that's really out of his...
That's not his zone.
It's out of his realm, so to speak.
His sphere of influence.
So that is not happening, but we can talk about Thor. We'll go right into Thor.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So there's been some casting rumors.
Uh-huh.
None of which I believe.
Here we go.
Two big names that are tied to the project or rumored to be tied to the project, but with no idea as to what roles they would play.
Oh, I think I know these, and they've already been debunked.
Have they been debunked? Jude Law and Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro.
Were they both debunked?
Yes, I've heard they've both been debunked.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard they were debunked, but that's good because, you know.
Debunked.
Because we don't need them to be.
No, and what? Who on earth? I mean, unless they were gods, which, I mean, I'll tell you what I did hear about the Thor movie, that it takes place in Midgard.
Yes, Midgard is what we're hearing, and it's also set to start filming in about 8 weeks.
Well, I mean, besides it taking place in Midgard, they say that Donald Blake is handicapped. Was he handicapped, Toy Mike, or did he just walk with a cane?
Toy Mike.
Did I call him Toy Mike? I'm sorry, just Mike. I'm still in con mode,
I think he walked with a cane.
He walked with a cane, yeah. But I don't know. They're playing it up as if he would be more handicapped. And I'm confused about how this whole movie... And apparently, I guess he doesn't know that his alter ego is Thor, no. Or he discovers that or something. This Thor movie is just going to suck balls.
No faith in Brana?
It's not Brana. It's the character translation to film in a universe that is relying more on realism than it is on... It's relying on realism in the sense that there's sort of scientific explanations for the Hulk and Iron Man and, you know, things so far. There's no science behind the fucking Asgardians.
Okay.
You know? I mean, it's really like you're crossing a line there between the possible and the impossible.
Well, you've got 8 weeks to see if your Thor is going to get canceled.
You know, they made a whole Captain America movie already, sir, that you know, failed.
I know. I'm just saying.
They made an FF movie.
Well, while we're talking about Cap, yeah. That currently is set to start production probably somewhere like 6 to 8 months after the Thor movie.
Okay.
So, and we have a director for that. Still no Cap, though.
Who's the director on that one?
It's Joe Johnston.
Johnston, yeah.
Who you should love. Because he did The Rocketeer.
Yes. And I'm aware of what he did, sir.
The upcoming Wolfman. Some good stuff.
Uh-huh. Very exciting.
Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Just throwing it out there.
Very exciting.
Also set to start filming sometime in the spring. We got it from the horse's mouth. Ghostbusters 3.
No.
Ernie Hudson told us.
No.
That's what he said. Ernie, I distinctly heard him say that they were going to start filming in the spring.
He said a year from now.
No, he said in the spring.
No, he said next fall.
I think he said spring.
Sir, he said next fall. I pointedly asked him. He says probably next fall.
Okay.
In a year.
All right.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
One of them's going to die.
Oh, it's terrible.
I think it's going to be Ivan Reitman. Did you see the picture we used of him last week?
He's a little rough.
Woo!
A little rough around the edges.
If you want to check out some pictures of some related images, the things we're talking about here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can always go over to our website, BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, and check out the picture gallery that accompanies each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And if you're listening to us on your iPod or QuickTime or iTunes or iPhone, you can see the related images pop right up as we talk about this.
Very
shit.
Pretty, I hear.
Very pretty. And if you have a comment or you'd like to hear us talk about something here on the show, you can go over to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave us a message and you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is true. Let's talk about Castle.
Okay.
Neither of you watched this show.
No.
And that's okay. But
because I watched Heart to Heart and what was the other romance? I didn't watch what you call it either, Murder, She Wrote.
Hey, listen. Castle's doing well. It just got the second half of its full second season, so we got a full second season for the show now.
Ooh, Dalali.
The novel that came out a couple months back is doing very well also.
There was a Castle novel?
Yeah, they did it. They had someone write the novel that he's doing on the show.
Oh.
That came out a couple months
How
ago. How
very
well.
Clever.
And in next week's episode of Castle,
uh-huh.
We saw some screen caps from the preview from this week's.
Okay.
It looks like Nathan Fillion going to be dressing up as Mal.
Who's Mal?
From that show.
What show is that?
What show?
What show?
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming.
this guy from me.
Oh, that show. Yes. Oh, so he's actually going to dress up as his character from the other show?
Now, I don't know if they're going to call him Mal. That would be interesting. But it's definitely the brown. If you look at the image that's coming up on your screen right now, you could see he's got the brown coat on.
Uh-huh. That definitely looks like his costume
That's the costume. So this, if they don't directly call him Mal, it would be then the second Firefly Easter egg in the show.
What was the first?
2 weeks back, he's going to a crime scene, and he puts on a pair of blue latex gloves, and he does the 2x2 hands of blue.
He said it? This?
No, but he does the motion that that what's her name does, that River does when she first freaks out about it, when she's talking about it, and she's looking at her hand.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
She's sexy.
That's kind of funny. Who, Summer Glau?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah, dude. Every girl on that show is sexy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Top to bottom.
And you know, she's going to be in an upcoming episode of Dollhouse.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's because she doesn't have a job. Because the Sarah Connor Chronicles is done, thank God.
That was canceled.
I don't know. I would place her... I'd give her a solid 3 as far as... As ranking the 4 girls on the show.
Oh, I thought you were saying 3 out of 10.
I'd give her a solid number 3. She's, I think, by far, Jewel State is the hottest girl on the show.
Yes, yeah.
Well, she's cute. Yes. But she's cute, you know?
She's hot, sir.
Jewel State?
She's hot.
No, she's hot.
And second, I would go with Marina Baccarin. Okay. And that's partially because they dolled her up for that show for Ivy because she's a whore
on the show.
That's part one. And part two, the reason she kind of slid down a little, because she is incredibly good looking, is because when I met her, she was kind of not such a personable person.
That can ruin it.
It really can.
Yeah.
And when I met Jewel State was bubbly and funny and nice with me the whole time. And she was so thankful that I wanted to talk to her about what she was doing and all these things. She was very gracious and nice. I've seen Summer Glau in person, right? I've never met her face to face, but I've seen her in person. And I've seen her, and I don't like, she's a butterface. To me.
Everything's good, but her face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's got a great body and everything else, but her face is a little weird. I don't know how to describe it, really. It's just kind of off.
I'd let her, though.
And Gina Torres. And Gina Torres is just not, she's just not really doing it for me.
But she's sexy in a tough kind of way.
That's why she got number 4. And not Mal's wife, Christina Hendricks, who clearly would be number 1 if we were ranking them overall.
Lord.
Every woman that's ever appeared on the show. My God, is that woman hot.
Yes.
Anyway, let's
move
on.
She's healthy.
Short
Let's talk about a show probably none of us on this show watch.
Okay.
Smallville.
I watch it, sir.
Fuck your mother. All right, let's talk about a show just Mike watches. Then.
What show
Smallville
is that?
Smallville and... we know now that this season, or is it, I think it's this season, that the Justice Society is going to be making an appearance on the show.
Again?
And,
sir.
And
Justice Society.
Oh, is that different than...
Society, yes.
Oh, wait. Hold on. What was the group that appeared where they put out the toys that I just got rid of?
The Justice League.
Was the Justice League.
Yes.
What? Who are the Society members?
It is Hawkman.
Hawkman?
Yes.
Stargirl?
Wait,
yes.
Slow down. On Smallville?
Going to be in January, yes.
How are they going to have Hawkman?
Sir?
No, that's what we're talking about.
Is it the guy who has, like, some hawks that do his fighting?
And, he's been cast.
Like, maggot?
He's been cast, yes.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Michael Shanks. Who would you know if you were a Stargate SG-1 fan? He played Daniel Jackson on all 10 seasons of Stargate SG-1.
Okay, lovely. And who'd you say, Power Girl?
Stargirl, which is a Geoff Johns creation from when he wrote Justice Society.
Okay.
And the third one?
She have like a 3/4 jumper with a big
star
on it? Yeah, blonde, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I know the
Who's
character.
The third one? I forget. I read it, but I forget.
Dr. Fate.
So Dr. Fate is going to be the third one?
Yes.
Okay, and who's going to play him or her?
It's because going to be Brent State.
Brent State, any relation to Jewel State?
Not as far as I can find.
Okay, very good.
And you would know him from a bunch of bit pieces. He was on a couple episodes of Atlantis. His biggest roles were in the TV show Andromeda.
Ooh.
A couple of things here and there.
Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda? Ooh. Yes. Hey, speaking of Jewel State, which we've now mentioned twice, I finally got that Jewel State action figure from Stargate Atlantis, and you could not kitbash this thing into Kaylee.
Ooh.
Because she has this sad expression on her face, like this, I'm going to tell someone they have cancer.
Oh.
Expression. It's too bad. And Kaylee never had a face like that. Even when she was upset, she was kind of happy looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was upset yet justified and gratified that I actually had a Jewel State action figure.
Absolutely.
So I can add that to my Hot Girls collection.
Well, let's stick in this vein of conversation.
Okay.
And do either of you watch Glee?
No.
No.
But I know the direction.
I heard it's funny as hell, though.
I've seen a couple episodes, and it was pretty funny. My wife watches it regularly, and there's definitely an upcoming episode that I'm going to want to check out, and likely you too.
Okay.
Going to be directed by Joss Whedon.
Yes, I did hear that. Yes.
That could be good. He's good at the musical shows. He did very well with Buffy. He did great with Dr. Horrible, so we'll see how it translates.
And you know what this means, don't you?
What?
Dollhouse is hitting the bricks.
That's absolutely... He's doing a episode.
A episode?
Yes, a single episode.
Not an episode?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. He's just feeling out his options for when Dollhouse folds.
Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Internet rumor of the week that's been debunked. Jackie Earle Haley will not be in the Green Lantern film as Sinestro.
That was debunked?
Yeah.
That upsets me.
No, Jackie Earle Haley said absolutely no.
Wow.
He was not approached. He is not...
I don't see him as Sinestro. He's too small. I mean, compared to what's his name that's playing Green Lantern?
You also need somebody
Ryan
in...
Ryan Reynolds.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
I think he's too small. I mean, I guess they could make it work, but I'd rather see someone a bit more...
You need someone ripped to be Sinestro.
Yeah, but someone a little more Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's someone taller at the very... It's got to be kind of imposing, which Jackie Haley is not.
I don't know about ripped, sir.
Yeah, for Sinestro?
For Sinestro?
Absolutely.
Well, it depends what direction they're going.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Sinestro early was kind of just the wiry dude with the yellow ring.
Right.
Remember Sinestro, like, circa Super Friends?
When he had that stupid outfit.
When he was all skinny and blue and shit? Ugh.
Well, he said that no one's approached him, so maybe if there's an internet buzz and they want him, he'd consider it, but...
Maybe.
What would be a good Big Kev's Geek Stuff news segment without at least one mention of Hollywood taking something and redoing it?
We call that a reimagination.
Exactly, and this week's title feature is Scary Movie. This is the most retarded thing I've ever heard of.
So
why not just do another Scary Movie? It's not a series you need to restart.
Well, I don't understand. How are they going to restart it? They're going to take old bits? You know, they're going to parody the same movies
all
they did?
All new characters, all new bits.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to... I think essentially what they're going to do is remove any continuity that may exist in the current line, which really is Anna Faris for the most part.
Right. And that black
the Shakespeare
girl.
And Love Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
Huh.
But you really don't need to do that.
No.
You could kind of treat Scary Movie like the National Lampoon's moniker or the Broken Lizard moniker and just do another one. No one will really miss any of those people if you just do it. You know what I mean? I don't think you need to make a big deal about it and say that you're reimagining it.
No, sir.
I know.
That you're doing a reimagination.
Yes, a reimagination.
There you go.
Very good. There it is.
See, when you do it right, you get the nice little sparkly thing.
I know.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
Out on DVD this week, in regular and Blu-ray, Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
Oodalolly.
Also, something Big Kev might be interested in, The L Word, the final season.
No, because Big Kev is waiting for L Word, the complete series.
All right. Mm-hmm. The Peanuts, 1970s collection.
Now, what exactly is in the 1970s collection? Because I don't remember in the end if I bought the 60s
collection. I believe
it
is a two-disc set. It features It's a Mystery Charlie Brown, Play It Again Charlie Brown, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, It's the Easter Beagle, There's No Time for Love, and you're not elected.
Okay, so there are some decent ones in there.
Yep, absolutely.
Some funny ones.
Also out this week is a remastered edition of Fawlty Towers, a complete collection. If you're into that stuff.
And as well, the animated awful Iron Man cartoon. Ugh.
And the animated Plastic Man cartoon also out this week.
The animated Iron Man cartoon is that new one that features the teen boy Tony Stark who creates the armor just as his father gets killed. It's the worst crap reimagination of a character that I've ever seen in my life. That is, it's so bad. It's just terrible. I can't believe it's still going on, but it is. So
that's about it. It was a pretty light week. A couple of good things.
But... In Blu-ray, new on Blu-ray this week is Kevin Costner's film classic Waterworld.
Yes.
Has finally been released on DVD.
One I don't need.
And I purchased this, The Dark Crystal on Blu-ray.
Why? Is it both versions?
No.
You just decided to buy a Blu-ray? It's
Blu-ray.
Wow. Good for you.
Now, it was $24.99, and I saved up all my little Best Buy coupons.
Aw.
So it only cost me like $10.
Isn't that
Beautiful.
Cute?
So I figure at this rate, I will have maybe four more Blu-rays by the end of 2010.
Nice.
If I keep playing them that way. Probably more than that. But I'm just saying, you know, people are monitoring my criteria. No, clearly it did. It does not fall in the criteria I've mentioned, except for the fact that this is one of my favorite movies, and therefore it qualifies as an exception.
Is an exception.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
In comic books this week, there is only a few things really we'd like you to check out. The DC Universe Halloween Special 2009 features 13 all-new short tales of terror. Bunch of artists, bunch of different characters, bunch of writers, clearly. And they do one of these for Halloween, and they do one for Christmas. They're both entertaining and fun, so you should check it out. It's the Halloween Special 09 one-shot DC Universe. Gonna run you about $6, but it's worth it. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, number 3, from our friends over at Dynamite. Now, I'm a little confused as to what's going on with this book, because it seems like Lone Ranger and Tonto comes out every 3 months. So maybe it is only a quarterly or something. I'm a little confused because I'm pretty sure, like, I started reading this story, like, a year ago. So... there it is. It's number 3. It's out at last. If I'm wrong about that, just give us a call over at the hotline.
425-920-6050.
And set me straight. Finally, in regular comics, I should say, from Image, we'd like you to check out the Just Mike Pick of the Week, Cowboy Ninja Viking, number 1.
Not my pick of the week, sir.
What the hell is that?
Sir. That you know what the pick of the week is.
I know what your pick of the week is, just
no.
Written by A.J. Lieberman, art and tones by Riley Rossimo. I got to tell you, it's a black and white book, but they've used a blue tone in it as well for emphasis, which is really interesting. Nobody is doing toning these days, so good for them. The art is really exciting, really interesting, and essentially... the story is about a man who has multiple personality disorder. One personality is a cowboy, one a ninja, one a Viking. So without giving away too much, you should definitely check out this book.
Yeah.
The other thing that we wanted to mention about it is that it's actually larger than a regular comic. It's slightly taller by about a quarter inch, and it's about a full inch wider.
Is it magazine?
No, it's not quite magazine. It's you know what? It's almost wizard size, sorta.
So yeah,
sorta.
You're not going to be able to use a current bag for
right. You're going to have to get a special bag to keep these. And you know, let's concentrate on getting it read. You know, and I don't worry so much about the bagging it, sir.
Baby steps.
Comic coffin. And we'd also like you to check out from Archaea Studios Press, literally one of our favorite comic book. Studios
Right.
Makers of Mouse Guard and a bunch of other things. Comes this hardcover book called The Killer. And it's about a professional hitman who's kind of growing a conscience. Now, this was originally published in France from 98 to 2003 in 5 volumes. And they said it was one of the greatest European comics ever made.
Huh.
And Archaea Studios Press brought it over. They translated it into English. And I got to tell you, it's just awesome. It's really, really a great story. The art is great. I'm really, very pleased with this. It's only going to run you about $20. This is for the adults. You want to keep this one away from the kids. Contains graphic violence, nudity, strong sexual content. It's actually
5-star book.
Well, it came from France,
and the title pretty gives it away.
Yeah,
when you name a book The Killer.
Yeah, and it definitely has come from France. It definitely has that European feel about the artwork too, which is really great. But that all said, I think it's a fantastic story, and I want to recommend everybody check it out. So there it is, The Killer from Archaea Studios Press, and this is Volume 1. So I don't know, maybe there'll be a Volume 2 of this.
Mayhaps.
At some point, which actually, that does answer a lot of questions. So, so it's Volume 1 of The Killer. Very nice. Very nice stuff. And also, a book to check out this week is called 1,000 Collectibles from a Galaxy Far, Far Away. This is a very thick, very heavy Star Wars book. Going to run you about $35. Features someone's random collection of Star Wars pieces. Everything from clothing to action figures to special food packaging, old school, new school, Lego,
that's
dolls,
intense.
Action figures, books, plush, every aspect of Star Wars, actual props from the movies and things like that people have collected. It's all represented, beautiful color photography, lots of descriptive words inside that are used to talk about these items. And some of the items that we have featured on this show actually made it into this book, OG. The least of which, I know that you're going to be very excited about this, so I'm pausing for dramatic purposes. It's the Millennium Falcon diorama from Attackus.
Ooh, that is a pretty piece.
The French piece that came out in 2005. So it has all sorts of pieces like that in it, and check it out. You're a Star Wars fan, you are a Star Wars product fan, you're definitely going to want to check this out.
I got one more thing that maybe we should throw in this section. I think that's kind of important for the show.
Okay.
And that is the Marge Simpson Playboy issue that came out. I think it came out this week or comes out next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Those pictures have now surfaced online.
Yeah.
And they creep me out.
Why?
Kind of creepy to see Marge Simpson semi-naked.
It's just translucent.
Still kind of creepy. I mean, it's pretty impressive that the Simpsons, you know, which have been around for how long now?
20 years.
Okay. You know, they've made their way into Playboy now. Is that the first time that a cartoon character has had a spread in Playboy?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I would say probably, yeah.
So.
That's all I can think of.
I'd let her.
Do you... OG, can
you? Of course you would.
Of course you would. OG, can you think of another character that you would like to see, an animated character that you would like to see in Playboy?
No, that's fucking creepy. It's I don't need to see naked.
Oh, OG, I hate to cut you off there, but...
No, it's all right, don't worry.
That is the D&D intro music, of course. It must be time for our D&D update for the week, where we take a... intimate look at all of the exciting Dungeons & Dragons products from the brand new 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons from our friends over at Wizards of the Coast. To check out this product tonight or any product for Dungeons & Dragons, you want to go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about a book called Primal Power. And this is options for barbarians, druids, shamans, and wardens. And essentially what this is, sir, according to the back of the book, it says, this Dungeons & Dragons supplement presents never-before-seen options for primal characters, including new powers, tribal feats, paragon paths, and epic destinies designed for the barbarian, druid, shaman, and warden classes. Primal Power also provides information on major primal spirits, as well as builds and class features that allow you to play new versions of your favorite primal classes. So this is essentially, it's almost like a separate spin-off handbook, if you will, for barbarians, druids, shamans, and wardens. You get a whole lot of information. Again, this is another product that D&D is providing that focuses specifically on specific classes and specific topics to broaden out those characters. So if you've made a barbarian character already, you're going to want to get Primal Power because that will explain how you can beef up, if you will, your barbarian character using new powers, new builds, and new abilities and things that are present here in this book.
Absolutely.
It's not bad. It's only going to run you about $30, but again, for those players, it's going to be an important asset, I think, for going in. The feats and the spirits and the new powers and evocations and all sorts of things are in this book. They are divided up by the classes we mentioned: barbarian, druid, shaman, and warden. And then there's some other more generic things towards the back. I love it. I think they're doing such a great job with this brand new edition of D&D. I really want to get our game going, gents. Yeah. I think we got to get it going.
Ooh.
Any thoughts, OG, on Primal Power?
It's, you know what, like all the D&D expansion books, it provides you with some great content. You know, it's not essential, so if you don't have it, you don't have to feel like you can't play. But why wouldn't you want to have it if it's available to you?
Well, I think, again, if you are someone who plays barbarians, druids, shamans, or wardens, you should definitely consider this book, because this is going to allow you to flesh out that character,
sure,
even more than you're already able to with the already expansive and vast Player's Handbook, Player's Handbook 2, DM Guide, and so on and so forth, with all the resources that are already available to provide even more information for those four character classes, I think is a good thing.
I gotta say, I'm really impressed with their release schedule.
Yes.
They are constantly... I remember back in the day when I played D&D more regularly.
Yes.
They're sometimes anticipating a new book, you know, a new expansion book or a new character-driven book.
Yeah.
You waited like...
A year.
Like, yeah, or more in some cases. I mean, now it's little service pack updates. It's good. It's a good way to handle it.
Yeah, they have the power cards and they have the figures. They have everything. They're now making everything you need in order to play this game effectively, and stuff like Primal Power that not only allow you to get through the basics of the game, but allow you to really flesh out, really make a character that you'll want to invest some time in, that
Absolutely.
You'll want to role play, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely,
very, very exciting. You know, I'm telling you, Just Mike is chomping at the bit.
I see him over there.
D&D, go.
I will. You give me the call, and it's time to go.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than
later.
Look
at that.
And, yeah.
With that being said, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, do you have more about D&D?
No, I was going to.
Well, then I was going to say, and that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D
Geek Stuff product reviews.
Just a couple of quick product hits tonight that we want to get out to you. And yes, we know we're jamming it all in the first segment tonight, because coming up in segment two tonight, it's
Big Apple Con.
Yeah.
Two cons enter.
Exciting. DC Direct has put out a brand new line of toys that we want to tell you all about, and we have them dispersed throughout the room here tonight. It is the Blackest Night Series 1 action figures. And four figures in the line include the Black Lantern Earth 2 Superman, the Alpha Lantern Boudica, Blue Lantern Saint Walker, and Red Lantern Atrocitus. I think I'm saying those names right. Yes, and of course, this is part of the great and powerful event going through the DC Universe right now, the Green Lantern Blackest Night series. Mike, do you want to tell us a little bit something about the Blackest Night for the people? Just wrap it up in a couple of sentences.
Well, it's basically the different colored lanterns have emerged, and it's the War of Light, which has been prophesied by the Guardians of the Universe, and the different series that are coming out are the different colors of the different lanterns of that emotional spectrum. There you go.
There you go. So a Red Lantern Atrocitus is a very great is a great figure. So red is anger.
Red is rage.
Red is rage. Okay. Yeah, he looks pretty fucking raging.
He's pissed.
And blue, Saint Walker is a blue character. Is a blue lantern rather, and blue is hope.
Blue is hope.
Uh-huh. And Alpha Lantern Boudica. Now she is an Alpha Green Lantern, which means she's kind of like the MP, what, military police.
Yeah, she's like the enforcer of the Green Lantern Corps.
And right.
Because now the Green Lanterns are allowed to execute, they go out and handle the business.
Oh, I see.
They handle the business.
The business. And finally, we have it's Earth 2 Superman, and he's a Black Lantern. Now, this says, the former Man of Steel from the Parallel Earth 2 is the first to be revealed as a member of the Black Lantern Corps. The members of this corps share the standard of the Green Lantern villain Black Hand by symbolizing a total absence of emotion and life. What's the story with these dead Superman is now a Black Lantern?
Well, all the dead characters in the DC Universe throughout all the titles are black rings are flying at them and resurrecting them from the dead, everywhere from Aquaman to Dick Grayson's parents. And the mystery is still to be revealed, but so far what we know is that they have no emotion whatsoever, and the only way to slow them down is to use two colors of the emotional spectrum, be it red and green, blue and green, so on and so forth.
Is it always combined with green?
Well, green is the middle of the emotional spectrum,
okay.
With the willpower.
Gotcha.
So blue and green together, yellow and green together, which is how Sinestro is becoming an anti-hero, so on and so forth.
Right.
That's how they're figuring out right now the way to defeat the Black Lanterns.
Gotcha. The figures are great. DC Direct always makes the great figures. And the bases are the appropriate bases for the color lantern. So, for example, the Saint Walker has the Blue Lantern base. He also comes with a little blue lantern.
A little tiny.
I
like that. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's cute.
And it matches very nicely with the Blue Lantern that we talked about from San Diego Comic-Con,
yeah.
As does the Red Lantern Atrocitus, whatever we're calling them. They're great figures. The sculpting on the Superman is... Do you see the sculpting on the Superman?
Yeah.
Boy, that's crazy. That's some great sculpting.
It's an intense-looking figure.
Yeah.
It's good, man. DC Direct is doing a good job with this
line.
Yeah,
and apparently they have at least four series listed. I mean, planned already that are coming out. So it's really something, yeah. So there it is. That's from DC Direct. It's Blackest Night Series 1. And also from DC Direct, we want to mention that the Harley Quinn half-scale bust has arrived.
It's a nice piece.
It's a really nice piece. And we talked about the half-scale Joker bust. It features real cloth, real clothing.
Yep.
Her horns on the Harley costume are actually plush.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're
really cool. That's
they're
a nice
plushy.
Touch.
Yeah, and everything is smooth. It's a great sculpt. It's really well done. Goes along with the collection. Now, they've done a bunch of these already. Did you get to see any of these?
Yeah, I think we saw some of these at San Diego, didn't we?
Well, we talked about the Joker one here, but they also have released the Batman one.
Right.
Which we talked about. And the Catwoman one, I think is out now.
I think we saw a bunch of these on display either at Toy Fair or San Diego or both.
Right. And I know that they're planned a few more. So far, it looks like they're sticking within the Batman universe for these.
Well, you know, got to stick where them where the biggest amount of sales
is.
Where
the interest is. They should do Green Lantern then, shouldn't they? By all accounts. It's the Harley Quinn half-scale bust from DC Direct. Great piece. Going to run you a lot of money.
Yeah?
You know how much?
$1.50. Three bills?
Holy. Three bills.
Ooh. DC Direct is fall. Remember, was that episode 2 weeks ago?
Money.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a little.
That's dangerous.
It's a little high.
I'm sorry. Wow. That's
a little high.
Not when you get the 1-1 bus that are like $250, $300.
Where?
How much were the
heads?
Back in the day?
Back in the day, they were like
$250, $300. Yeah. You can still get some of those in the second market at that price. I don't know, three bills is a lot for a half-scale bus.
But you know what? They got the real cloth.
I understand.
They got the. I mean, that's a big process.
I'm not knocking the piece. It's a gorgeous piece. I'm just saying. $300 is a lot.
I'm just saying.
All right.
One of us can't be just saying.
All right.
We both
You're
just
saying,
saying.
I'm merely commenting.
And with that, Just Mike, you have something you want to bring to the table real quick before we take our break?
Well, OG and I were talking about a big video game released this week. Excuse me.
This leak.
Super Borderlands. Flexible.
Yeah, this looks pretty badass. This is coming out what? For 360, PS3, and then it's Windows platform also?
Yes, it is. It's, you know, it's the concept is cool. It's that a bunch of humans find an abandoned planet and they inhabit it, and then once the spring comes, the creatures come out and they're aliens, and it's a war zone, so on and so forth. But the cool thing that I thought about it is that it's kind of a mix of an RPG and a first-person shooter.
It's like a first-person shooter, but it's got like quest lines. I hear that there's something like 160 regular quests,
wow.
And then like 160 regular quests, like 130 of those move the main storyline along, and then there's 30 or 40 that are like side quests. And they're like four different playable characters that you get to play throughout the course of the game. It sounds like a pretty interesting game. I think I might actually grab it once I eventually grab Uncharted 2, because I think that has to take priority.
That takes precedent.
This does look like a pretty badass game.
And
that's
they
some
have
PvP
a
I saw too, right? You can play online stuff.
Yeah. And there's a ton of weapons. There's supposed to be just a... Every quest, you find new weapons and just they advance and they change. And I always think that's fun with games to find new weapons like that.
I can't remember what video game it was. There was a series of games, I think it was for PS2, that we played where one of the guy's main weapons was the stun gun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? Anybody remember what that was called?
I vaguely remember the game, but I don't remember what it was.
I love that game when you would just stun the guy until he lit on fire. Do you remember that game, series? I can't remember. Well, I'll tell you what. If you out there can remember what the heck that game series is called, give us a call at the hotline, 425-920-6050, and let me know, because the three of us are having brain farts right now.
Yeah, I think once we get the chance to maybe sit down and actually play this game a little bit, we'll talk about it a little bit more. But it looks pretty badass and definitely worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And with that, let's take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168. Two cons enter.
Combo Breaker! ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GEEKSTUFFXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Come with me if you want to live. Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168, Two Cons Enter. Dot, dot, dot.
Are you sure it's 168?
I'm positive it's 168.
Yeah, as we're coming back, I just wanted to mention in that last segment, we mentioned the book, The 1,000 Collectibles from a Galaxy Far, Far Away, Memorabilia and Stories, a book from Star Wars. That's actually written and compiled by Steve Sansweet. And for those of you who don't know who Steve Sansweet is, he is the he has the largest personal collection of Star Wars memorabilia in the world. This guy has... like an airplane hangar size warehouse full of Star Wars collectibles and things from all over the world. So this actually makes this book, I think, about a gazillion times more interesting because Steve has some stuff no one else has. Number one, some prop stuff and so on and so forth. Plus, he has interesting stories about how he acquired some of this stuff. Like we were talking about that one piece from Attackus.
Right.
You know, and the story about how it came broken and all that stuff. So it's actually a really great book, and I kind of skipped over who wrote it and his importance to the Star Wars universe.
Collector's world.
Yes. So all right. Check that out.
Now.
Two cons enter.
Big Apple time.
Yeah.
We were there.
We were.
Well, I was on Friday,
uh-huh.
The three of us.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you all day Saturday.
Yes.
You for a little bit on Sunday. A
little bit.
You're a good man.
I'm a
or glutton, a glutton for punishment.
Glutton for punishment. I'll go glutton for punishment.
Let's talk about our experience at Big Apple Con.
Yes.
I feel personally that although I did make some purchases.
As did I.
Overall, as a con, kind of a little bit of a bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like the last Wizard show that I went to, which was lackluster, kind of boring.
Uh-huh.
Kind of empty.
Uh-huh.
Kind of unenthusiastic.
Yes.
I've been going to cons for years. I've never seen such a small amount of cosplayers at a convention as
right.
I did this weekend. Now, normally, you would think, ah, what the hell does that have to do with anything? Whether or not you like them or don't like them, there's a certain amount of atmosphere that they lend.
Very good point.
To these conventions.
Yeah.
And when they're not there...
Right.
It's noticeable.
Yes.
So,
well,
so what's your opinion? I thought it was lackluster. I was kind of disappointed.
What I noticed was not there was patrons.
Right. Kind of empty.
Because pretty much on Friday in particular, we got there. What time we get there? Around 3 or so?
Yeah.
I'd say by 5 o'clock. I thought pretty much the con was just created for us.
Us and a handful of others.
Us and maybe a handful of other people because we were... I mean, alone. By the time quarter after 7, now mind you, this con went till 8.
On Friday.
By quarter after 7 on Friday, dealers were packing up.
Yeah,
all of the guests had, I mean, literally, I think even Lou Ferrigno had left at that point.
And he didn't even hear the announcement that, oh.
He's the first guy there. At cons, he's the first guy there and the last guy to leave.
Always.
And he was still there.
He loves those things, doesn't he?
He does. But he's kind of a rude prick. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard not nice things about him. But the point is that, I mean we're going to get into it in a minute, but this show was hyped and sold on so many names and so many things. And it was, you know, and it's in this new venue, which didn't look very new to me. Out on Pier 94.
That was considered a new venue?
Yeah, it was. Well, they'd never been there before, sir. And it was essentially looked like a large warehouse pier sort of thing.
I was looking for the 25-gallon tub of Miracle Whip, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't get it.
Kind of felt like a Costco.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it did feel like a Costco.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I guess I could see that. There was... The place was scarcely carpeted, which if you've never walked a con for 4 or 5 hours on stone floors before, you won't ever do it a second time, because my feet were so swollen, man. My shoes were hurting.
Everything
bad. My back and my legs. And it's not from being old, because you could be any age and you're stomping around on concrete all day, carrying shit and walking back and forth. And, you know, when you got to walk around like 6-7 times because you're looking for something interesting, you know, it wears on your nerves and your body and everything else. So it was very strange. So,
yeah, it was. Just Mike, your opinion, comments?
I did not think I thought this thing was going to be hyped as, you know, celebrities everywhere, tons of people. It was very empty. I could have ran laps around the vendors. There was nobody there.
You know, it was being hyped as a New York Comic Con, or the replacement for it.
Not a replacement, but competition.
But the fill in the hole.
Yeah.
You know, we should say, we're talking about the number of people not being there. Why don't we talk about the guests that weren't there?
A lot of cancellations.
I counted 23 or 24 cancellations on the guest list.
Wow.
And two major events canceled as well. The William Shatner panel was canceled.
Uh-huh.
The New York Horror Film Festival screenings was canceled.
Right.
William Dafoe canceled. Ted DiBiase canceled. Ian Grufford canceled. Edward James Olmos canceled. Joe Frazier canceled. Michael Papajohn. J.G. Jones. I mean,
Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra. I mean, these are some pretty big names
that they sold. First of all, the first guest that they announced for this damn show was Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, he was the big get.
Yeah,
that was the, oh my God, Dafoe's going to be there.
And no, denied. Now, with all due respect to the Big Apple Con, this is not the first time this has happened to Big Apple Con. Big Apple Con, a little notorious for missing guests. However, Big Apple Con is now owned by Wizard.
Right.
So,
well,
what the hell happened to Wizard?
Well, Wizard is now being known for this as well. This is not the first time. There were cancellations at Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that they, you know, we've heard they've canceled some cons altogether. And most recently,
yeah, I think, like, L.A., Boston, and I think four of their cons are on permanent suspension or something.
2 weeks prior to Big Apple Con, they started running ads for Wizard Toronto, which is one of their new conventions, with Warren Ellis's face on the advertisement.
Right.
And Warren Ellis saw this, and his comment was, "First I've fucking heard of it. I'm presuming this is some kind of impossibly convoluted but innocent mistake, as opposed to, well, if we just say Warren Ellis is showing up, then he'll have to. But I've had no contact from Wizard World about this or any other show, so God knows what actually happened for this to have somehow gotten printed." They're really not doing a good job of selling themselves. Not to mention that a couple days before this con, in a radio interview, Ted DiBiase, someone was talking to Ted DiBiase, which you could say big guest, not a big guest.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Someone said, "We hear you're going to be at Big Apple Con." Ted DiBiase goes, "I am. No one told me. I'm not going to that show."
And that's just bad publicity for Wizard.
Bad practice.
They even had a banner hanging up for him at what would have been his space at that con.
I mean, it's, I don't know, it's bad.
Yeah.
So, but we did get some stuff. I mean, I got a couple of graphic novels, a couple of toys. Just Mike. Awesome sketch.
Started his sketchbook.
You hit a nerve, sir.
Now what happened, Just Mike? Now, we should say this happened late on Friday. There wasn't a lot of people there. A lot of artists also didn't show up and or had left. And Just Mike, as inspired by my wonderful sketchbooks, decided he wanted to start a sketchbook of his own. And what happened then, Just Mike?
You know, I was going around looking for some of the artists. There was nobody there. So these guys were literally doing nothing. And first I went up to Jim Chung, and he just flat out said no to me. And there was no one near him, which I thought was insulting. So fuck you.
Yeah.
And Then I went up to a young artist by the name of Javier Cruz Winnick. Looking through his stuff, there was nobody there. It was late. And I liked his picture of Thor, his drawing of Thor, his sketch. So I said, oh, that's really nice. And I said, I was wondering if you know, you could do a quick sketch for me in my sketchbook. You know, I'm looking to start it up, exactly what you just said. So he said, oh, sure, man, yeah. So he takes it, starts drawing, does the head, does the body, does the whole thing, so on, keeps drawing, looks up with me, and I will never, ever forget this. And he goes, and that'll be $10. And my face fucking dropped. Halfway through this sketch, there was no sign that he was charging.
I was going to say, was there a sign?
Not a thing. And this asshole then made me fork over $10, like I was buying liquor outside a store when I was 15 years old, for this fucking guy's asshole sketch of Thor.
Wow.
Which I could have fucking wiped my ass with when it was done, because it looked like a fucking blind child did it. That's how angry I am, sir, about this score. Thor, fuck him.
Had this sketch been a good sketch, would you have not been as upset? Or either way, it was just a shitty sketch and a shitty experience.
It was the fact that the guy screwed me like that. And, right. You know, a friend of ours had said that it was like when you're on the streets and they hand you a CD.
Uh-huh.
And then you walk away and go, oh, the wait, that'll be $15.
Right.
Exactly what he did to me.
Right.
He fucking owned me.
Well, that's a good, valuable lesson you learned there.
Yes.
Always ask first.
I didn't learn the same lesson when I got my one and only sketch that I got this weekend.
No, but that's, you know.
What?
You know, it's different.
I got a Catwoman from Adam Hughes.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. And I say that with respect and love.
I think you're just upset because Adam Hughes is maybe one of your favorite artists.
Could be.
You didn't get a sketch.
That's correct. But that's okay. I'm glad that one of us got it. I'm glad that it's in your sketchbook. And there it is.
I'm glad that I went back on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because like Friday, there wasn't a lot of people there on
like
Sunday.
Saturday. Oh, no, it was kind of busy on Saturday.
No, there was a Friday. You know what it was? This used to be a show in a tiny space. Now they've put this show in a giant space. So really, it was like 10 pounds of apples in a 200-pound bag.
Yeah.
Right? So on Sunday, kind of the same situation, more or less, right? But here's the exciting part for me. I see that people are lining up by the Star Trek autograph booth, where they're featuring Brett Spiner and what's her name?
Is Brett Spiner there? Did he cancel
too? Yeah,
Brent
Spiner. Yeah, Data. Him and Captain Janeway from the terrible Voyager series. I can't remember what her real name is, but she was there also. What I didn't realize though was that Shatner was doing his signing at that table as well, which stunned me because I've never seen a Shatner signing ever. Number one, number two. Anytime there has ever been a Shatner signing that I've heard about, it was usually they do it away from the convention. Not away, like in another building, but like somewhere secluded and cloistered. One, because they want to manage the lines, and two, because it's fucking William Shatner. They feel like they got to isolate him away from people standing around, and rightfully so. So I'm looking at this line, and there's maybe 15 people in the line. And I'm like, what's this line for? And they're like, William Shatner. And I'm like, where's the rest of the line? And they said, this is it. And I was like, 15 people? So I decided to take a gamble. And the gamble was, would William Shatner remember me from my phone calls with him with regards to setting up an interview with a former radio show that I still am associated with, that is not this particular show. And I was kind of taking a gamble because I collect signed toys, and this would be a good opportunity for me to get probably a very rare signed toy, and that would be a Captain Kirk action figure signed by William Shatner.
I mean, that's a huge,
that's a pretty huge
big get.
I had to go down a few rows to actually find a Captain Kirk action figure, and I managed to find the Wrath of Khan Kirk with the bloody, the bloody shirt version.
Nice.
Yeah. And the guy, the dealer, of course, who had made no money that day,
I asked him how much, and he said, oh, Kev, for you, like $15. And I said, here's 10. And he took it. And I was like, okay. I took it for 10. I went back over to the William Shatner area. And now, by the time I got there, there were two people in front of me on the line. I got on the line while the security was looking in the other direction, because apparently you're supposed to buy your ticket for the autograph before you get online. So I didn't do that. I just got on the line. So as I got up to Mr. Shatner, I bent over to his handler while he was signing the person in front of me's thing. And I said, I'm Big Kev. And I mentioned the radio show that, you know, I'm associated with. And he, once Mr. Shatner had finished signing the person in front of me's item, turned to... the handler guy turned to Mr. Shatner and said, it's Big Kev from, you know, the radio show. And William Shatner, to my delight, said, oh, Big Kev, how are you? How have you been? And so on and so forth, as if he knew who I was. And at this point, I was feeling mixed emotions. One, because I didn't know whether he knew who I was or he was just responding. Yeah, responding and playing it off. But then he took my I said, Mr. Shatner, be a great honor for me if you would sign it for me. He goes, absolutely, Big Kev. And he signs my Kirk action figure. Now, he didn't personalize it, which I regret, but I also didn't pay for it. So,
which you can get.
And everybody's looking at me, you know, in that kind of, oh, he didn't pay. We got to get him to pay. He didn't pay. You know, look. And I was like, I'm getting out. And I shook Mr. Shatner's hand, and I got the, actually, I turned around on my way out, because they don't allow you to take a picture of him while he's signing something. But I snapped a picture of the signing that was going on. Actually, I was the last person. He had gotten up while I was, fixing myself. And he had actually was bending over to sign one other person's thing who had run into the line at the last second. And I snapped a picture of that just so, you know, I had something like, you know, sort of associating the fact that he had actually signed this. And that's what happened. I think that I have to say, maybe that might be my con highlight.
Well, it's, I mean, certainly that counts as a con highlight, I think.
And our interview with Joe Simon, the creator of Captain America.
Yeah, 90, that was a good one,
too. 92 years old. He can't really hear much anymore. We managed to get a few questions in with Joe, and we're very happy about that.
We'll be playing that one in a couple weeks, maybe?
I think in a couple of weeks, yeah. We're gonna tweak it. Maybe we'll play that one next week.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll play that in the upcoming weeks. Sure. And then we have an interview with Helen Slater that was very nice, and something with Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch also. It was very cool. Absolutely. Oh, and Adam Hughes. So,
yes.
We have a couple of things we could play. Maybe we'll just cobble something together and like an OG bonus content.
Yeah. There you go.
But it'll be like, you know, Big Kev's bonus content.
Interviews, right.
Something.
All right. Let's move on to the drama. Two cons enter.
So while we were at this con, the announcement was made for the dates of the next Big Apple convention.
Right.
The Big Apple Wizard Convention. And those dates were?
The exact same dates as next year's New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. This isn't a mistake.
Yeah.
This is intentional.
Yeah, absolutely, it is intentional. It is not a mistake. It's been verified by both sides. A pissing match between Wizard Publications and Reed Exhibitions is on. In fact, at the show we were at, they escorted some of the New York Comic Con people out of the venue.
Right, and Wizard did this at another con. They escorted people from out of the Long Beach. They escorted some people out of the Anaheim con that are associated with the Long Beach convention. So apparently Wizard doesn't want people
right.
scouting out their con, which is funny because the people that Wizard have just gotten into bed with is notorious for doing that.
Yeah, Michael Carbonara is literally at every show promoting
everywhere.
His next show.
Michael Carbonara was walking the floors
in San Diego
and the hotels
uh-huh.
of San Diego
promoting his con
and booking guests.
Yeah.
Just going up to people, sitting down, eating dinner in a hotel in San Diego, booking guests.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So, and not that I've ever seen Wizard do that per se, but Michael Carbonara is well known for that behavior. And now, of course, he has sold the Big Apple con to Wizard,
right.
and thus the results are, you know, as we've said. But now they are literally taking it one step further by actually booking their next convention on the same dates as New York Comic Con.
This now, next year's New York Comic Con, for those of you who don't know, is going to be the entire Jacob Javits Center.
95%, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Which is a huge increase. They had a door of 77,000 people
right
last year at New York Comic Con.
Yes.
Big Apple Con this year had
7,000 people.
Okay.
Over 3 days.
Over three
days. No, we don't have any idea what the number is.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I doubt that Wizard would release them.
No, I actually, I did read them somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
But the capacity, what we should say is that the capacity of the Big Apple Con is nowhere near
right
the capacity of the Jacob Javits Center.
They actually said.
It's like a quarter.
Right.
If that.
They actually said on Saturday that they were at capacity and were staggering people in. And I mean, when I think at capacity, I think San Diego, where I can't walk two steps without bumping into somebody. Like
right.
on a, like literally on like a Friday or Saturday in San Diego, where you cannot move in the room. When I heard this con was at capacity this weekend on Saturday, I was laughing because there was I was standing in a place where there was no people, but they were at capacity. It was the strangest thing ever.
Yeah, it's. I really think that. I think that Garib has lost his mind.
Yeah, Garib, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what on earth. He thinks he has something up his sleeve because I think his quote is, wait until we reveal our guest list or something?
Yeah, okay, that's great. Except that this year you soured this whatever many people you got through the door by a third or whatever it is of your guests canceling or not showing.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, New York Comic Con has really almost all the same type of support that San Diego has.
Yes.
And by that I mean
all
Marvel,
right.
DC, IDW,
all the publishers,
Archaea, they're all there.
Movie studios,
Fox, Sony,
right.
NBC, ABC. Big Apple Con? Not Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was it. No Marvel, no DC, no Image, no nothing.
I'm trying to think.
Archaea was there.
Archaea Studio Press was there, so but good for them. But really, they had their books there. It wasn't an overall. It wasn't like a regular con display for them. I don't think. I think IDW, not IDW. Somebody else was there. A couple other small press guys were there. But yeah, it's not like New York Comic Con that has every publisher in America there.
There, and in an interview, he's. Garib is quoted as saying,
and we should say Garib Sheamus is the head of Wizard
correct.
Entertainment.
He says, "We don't want children to be exposed to an adults only environment with sex and violence." And he was giving this interview at Big Apple Con, standing in front of a booth that was selling swords, which was next to the Suicide Girls booth.
Yeah. Where the girl wasn't
sex and violence.
Where the girl wasn't wearing any pants.
The girl wasn't wearing any underwear.
She was wearing a skirt with no underwear underneath
yeah.
it.
Yeah, a short skirt.
And the table, two tables over, they were selling swords.
Sword, tons of swords.
They're big on the swords there for some
yeah.
reason. I don't know.
So, he's lost his mind. Now, me and Kevin have the fortunate, or maybe it's fortunate, maybe it's not the right word. We have a relationship. With vendors, dealers, etc.
We have friends.
At these cons.
Sure.
And so, as we're going around and talking to our regulars and our usuals, you know, we're getting the same feedback from most of them, which is, well, I'm not doing Big Apple next year. I'm already booked
yeah.
to do New York.
And even if
why
I
would
wasn't,
I come here
right.
when I can go there and get three times as many, or, you know,
yeah.
four times as many people through the door.
Yeah, and what they're saying is that even if they weren't booked already with New York Comic Con, they wouldn't go back and do that show based on what they experienced this weekend.
He must have something so far up his sleeve. It's I don't know what it can be.
I told you what I think it is.
What?
They're only going to have three guests at the con.
Yeah, and it's going to be huge.
Yeah, huge. It's going to be Spielberg, Lucas, and Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, that's
and,
it.
And, you know, and all three of them will be signing, and there'll be no charge for the signatures. And everybody that goes is guaranteed to get at least one of those three people as an autograph. And that even that draw, I'm wondering, I mean, I'd have to go. I mean, I'd have to go at least try to get an autograph from one of those guys.
See, now you would have to go. Me, clearly, even though I love all three of those people, I would go to New York in a heartbeat.
See, here's the thing. I would go to Big Apple, get my signature,
and then go,
and then
back
go
to, New York.
To New York. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing people are saying. You know, you have 52 weekends in a year. You had 51 other weekends to pick.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're being aggressive. But I should say also that, that Reed Exhibitions has gone on record as saying, we welcome any competition.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
They're going to dick slap them.
Yeah.
But...
And we should say it's, you know, Wizard not the only guilty party here. Reed has actually gone after them in Chicago, but has gone after them in a sensible way.
But Reed has commented about this, and I kind of agree and I don't agree. Reed has, first of all, Reed didn't pick the same weekend,
right?
In Chicago,
number
and
one.
Second of all, Reed was actually doing their show in Chicago, in downtown Chicago. As opposed to Wizard that does it
in the convention center
at the airport.
Right.
So at least which is fine because that's the equivalent of Big Apple doing it at Pier 94.
Right.
And New York Comic Con doing it at Javits Center.
Right.
So even though you can kind of say Reed is doing that, they didn't do it the same weekend.
Because you know, by doing it the same weekend, you're fucking so many people.
Fucking the fans. Yeah.
You're fucking
really.
The fans. You're fucking the dealers. You're fucking the guests. Everybody gets fucked by that happening because they're... Garib Wizard is forcing people to choose.
Right.
And when after what he just offered this weekend, like I said, unless it's the non-wax version of Steven Spielberg and George Turkey Neck Lucas... And Harrison Ford. I mean, I don't see what guest list he can possibly offer, A, that anyone would believe, or B, that would be big enough to take draw away from that New York Comic Con.
Clearly the caliber of guest is different.
Well, yeah, let me say this, is that at Big Apple Con, you know, your big draw is Jim Lee, Joe Quesada. You're not going to get the Twilight crowd and people like that to care about those guests.
And can we just say something about the Jim Lee Joe Quesada? Joe Quesada blew off his Friday appearance at the con.
He was there on Saturday.
And
saw
Jim
outside smoking.
And Jim Lee was there for what? 2 hours on Saturday?
Yeah, something crazy.
Like if this is your guest of honor, you know, and this is with all due respect to everybody involved in this situation, but if you are making someone your guest of honor like Jim Lee, then you need to book Jim Lee to be there, you know, for I'd say at least 2 of the 3 days and at least for a significant portion of those 2 days.
Yeah.
He's got to be there for like, let's say 2 2-hour sessions. On at least 2 of those days. And I think he was just there for 2 hours on Saturday, I think. I'm not sure about exactly what his schedule was. I'd probably have to ask him. But that said, if he's the guest of honor, that's what's got to occur. And if your other guest of honor is Joe Quesada and he blows off his Friday appearance, like, and I don't want the Will Wheaton excuse that his grandmother died that day. I'm not falling for that shit, especially after I just saw Big Bang Theory on Monday. I'm not falling for nobody's bullshit anymore. You know what I mean? If they don't publish that shit that happened, and even then, I'm still questioning it. But the point is, those are your guests of honor. Who was the third guest of honor? Wasn't it Willem Dafoe or something?
Willem Dafoe.
I think it was one of the ones, and yeah, no.
No, not there.
So... I really honestly think that he's lost his mind. That's
actually
the only explanation.
The other guest of honor was William Shatner, who canceled his
panel at
panel,
the very least.
Right.
Which could have been good. I'll tell you what. The only reason it might have been kind of interesting, because it seemed like it was going to be kind of open forum with a moderator, which may have actually been interesting and good. Yeah, no. She ain't going to show up.
So for those of you going to the Toronto Comic Con, announced by Wizard, Eliza Dushku apparently will be appearing.
Apparently.
In the nude.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you might as well say that because...
Because that's more likely?
Because that's more likely that she'll show up and be naked than show up at all.
So there it is.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, if there's any more development on this at all over the next year, we'll talk about it. But I really think it's going to be... A horror slash fest. And I also think that the likelihood of Big Apple buckling and changing before next year
is probably pretty good. Because if no one starts... Oh, and what I should say is New York Comic Con is already, I think it's like 75% sold out for vendors, guests, that kind of thing.
Like, something like that,
like their
yeah.
floor spaces are almost fully booked, which isn't going to leave a lot of leeway for people to go to Big Apple. So I think Big Apple's going to end up buckling, but we'll see what happens.
I looked it up here. VIP only signings, Jim Lee 1-2 on Saturday.
That was it.
Joe Quesada was 3-4 on Friday. He blew that off.
Right.
Jim Lee had a special signing. Oh, the VIP only signing was for people who bought the VIP tickets.
Right.
That was 1-2 on Saturday with Jim Lee. The special signings will be, they were at the Wizard booth. Jim Lee was there from 1-2 on Friday, which I don't know if that's accurate. I don't remember him being there on Friday. But in any case, that was 1 hour. And that was 1 hour on Friday and 1 hour on Saturday for Jim Lee. And Joe Quesada also was 3-4 on Saturday and 3-4 on Friday, but he didn't show up for that one, right?
Right.
And then I think that was it for them.
Where do you get the balls to say that's a special guest?
No, not special guests, sir. The guests of honor. Well, they are listed as special guests, but even guests of honor. They are listed as guests of honor. Joe Quesada, Jim Lee, Joe Madureira, Pete Rose, and William Shatner.
Well, Joe Mad was there.
Joe Mad was there.
I don't know if Pete Rose was there.
I don't know if Pete Rose showed up or not, but I know Shatner was there for a little bit on Friday, a little bit on Saturday, a little bit on Sunday. Wow.
Oh, there it is.
What a disaster.
I mean, it's a shame, but...
What are you going to do?
They're fucking out of their minds.
And with that, let's take our final break. We'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168, Two Cons Enter.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The Fonz be with you.
And also with you.
And how lucky are you?
Fonzie be praised!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168, Two Cons Enter, .. We talked about a lot of stuff tonight in segment one. Talked about Jon Favreau not directing the Avengers movie. The Thor movie moving forward. It looks like about 8 to 10 weeks before it starts shooting. Cap is on its way. They got a script probably 6 months after Thor starts. And Ernie Hudson says Ghostbusters 3, whether it's in the fall or in the spring, we don't know. But
sometime in 2010, they're going to start filming, according to Ernie Reliable Hudson.
Right. He was there at his Who You Gonna Call t-shirt on Saturday.
Yeah, in the jumpsuit.
Also, next week on Castle, we may see the return of Malcolm Reynolds, which could be interesting. We're going to see Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and Stargirl come up in future episodes of Smallville. Hawkman being played by an SG-1 alum, and Whedon going to be directing an upcoming episode of Glee and the reimagination
good
of the week, Scary Movie. Ugh.
In DVDs this week, we talked about Transformers 2, Rise of the Fallen, and the awful Iron Man cartoon, which I think is from Comedy Central or one of them. Terrible cartoon. And we also talked about
Plastic Man, the Peanuts 1970s collection, Volume 1, Waterworld and Dark Crystal on Blu-ray, and I think that was it.
Right. And in comic books tonight, we'd like you to check out a few titles. Lone Ranger and Tonto number 3, DC Halloween, DC Universe Halloween Special 2009, Cowboy Ninja Viking from Image, and The Killer Volume 1 from our buddy pals over at Archaia Studio Press, and the 1,000 collectibles from A Galaxy Far, Far Away, memorabilia and stories from Steve Sansweet, the largest Star Wars collector in the world.
And in our D&D segment tonight, we talked about the Primal Power book that came out, I guess, in the last couple weeks.
Yes, more options for barbarians, druids, shamans, and wardens. Check it and other D&D products out over at dndinsider.com. Letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And in our product segment tonight, we talked about DC Direct's releases this week, which include Blackest Night Series 1 action figures. Four characters make up the line: Earth 2, Black Lantern Superman, Blue Lantern Saint Walker, Alpha Lantern Boudica, and Red Lantern Atrocitus. Four of these waves are planned to coincide with the immense crossover book that's happening in DC right now with the Green Lantern Saga. Great figures, great bases, terrific stuff from DC Direct. And we also talked about the Harley Quinn half-scale bust. Little on the pricey side, but it's got the real cloth. It's got the all the features that you expect, all the great sculpting and so on that you would expect from DC Direct, which makes it a great piece. Harley Quinn half-scale bust from DC Direct.
And obviously in segment two of the show this week, we talked about our experience over at the Big Apple Con this past weekend. I want to say thanks to all the people we met over there and got to hang out with, all the Geekerdome folks, Hippo Juice, Introduce people, Murder Face.
I'm gonna name her by name. Marie.
Marie. Yes, you're gonna name Marie. She's lovely. So thank you for all of you guys. We had a good time hanging out. And I think that's out. Don't forget you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have each and every episode, all of the image galleries for those episodes. We have t-shirts still for sale. You could also check us out over at Geekerdome, great network that we're a part of with some great shows, some of those shows I mentioned before. You could follow us on Twitter, BK Geek Stuff on Twitter, if you want to follow news related to the show. Follow myself, Geek Stuff OG at Twitter, and Just Mike over at Twitter as well, Just Mike BKGS, and I think the plugs are done. Thanks.
And with that, we'll turn the show over to Just Mike. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 168, Two Cons Enter?
Yeah, I have a Thor sketch selling for $100. It's an original if anybody wants it.
And on that note, we cue the music. Up to you.